Sounds to me like you're daunted. Say it again like you're undaunted.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, whenever you are watching this. This is the Often Daunted Podcast, and I am your host, Burke White. Thank you so much for tuning into the Often Daunted Podcast. If this is your first time giving the show a try, please, if you feel like you enjoy it by the end of it, do leave a subscribe, do leave a like, comment, whatever the case may be. If you are listening to this on audio, yes, this is available across all podcast platforms. I do appreciate it as well. Please leave a rating, whatever you like. Be fair. I'm not going to be out here begging you for five, but it would help my ego. So I truly appreciate it. And without further ado, let's get into it. This is, as I do each episode, I'm going to start with the recaps, and then it's on to the Indiana news, national and conference news. Following that, it's on to Burke's Big Fives. This week, I have Burke's Big Five, Big Ten piece of shit alumni. And then it's on to the flaunted and the daunted. And then it's on to some thoughts of mine prior to the tip-off with SIUE, and Eastern Illinois. All of that before sending you out of here with a Hoosier history hit. All right, yeah, I can't thank you enough for giving the show a shot. If you do enjoy it again, yeah, do give me a follow, whatever the case may be. You can follow me across all socials at Often Daunted. All right, now that, hey, I mean, I just got at the top of the show. I got to say, congrats to the 9-0 Indiana football Hoosiers. Kurt Cignetti keeps it rolling. You know, what can he say about everything he's done in the course of a year? He is truly writing the script on what a coach can do and the bar at which coaches should be held accountable here in the Big Ten. If I were a lesser program with high hopes, I would see what Indiana is doing with Kurt Cignetti, and I would be jealous with rage. Just all credit to him and the staff. Everything that every guy on that team is doing, it's just paying dividends, and the fandom is just, there's a damn revolution going on, and it's something to behold as far as football in Indiana goes. All right, on to the recaps. All right, for the recaps, I'm going to get into most of my thoughts on the team as a whole. And I'm going to be talking about these games in general a lot of the ways. I mean, just the last two exhibition games. I'm going to be just kind of talking about the team in general, because what can you really take from the Marion game? Not the stiffest competition we should see all season. But, we're going to take what we can from it. Most of my thoughts on this are going to be from the Tennessee game, because I feel like that's the best barometer we're going to get on where this team is right now. I only wanted to see shots fall against Assembly, like against Marion in Assembly Hall. Unfortunately, I wish I could have seen more threes fall, but we did see a few. These two games, Indiana 66, Tennessee 62, and Indiana 106, Marion 64. Player of the first game, that Tennessee game, easily Miles Rice with his 20 points on 7 of 14 for shooting, 2 rebounds, and 4 assists. And then player of the game of the second game was Bryson Tucker. I'm going to give those player of the games right out at the top because, I mean, what's putting off the inevitable in the case of these two games? Miles Rice was by far just, I mean, you saw what he changed in the Indiana offense. This guy is bringing a threat to the backcourt that hasn't been there. His willingness to push the speed. I'll get into the individual performances down the line, but yeah, of course we'll be talking about him. That's just why I wanted to give the players of the game up top. As far as the health of the team regarding these two exhibition games, seems like we had some more active rehabbing going on between the two games. Scratches in the first being Ja'Kai, Trey, and Bryson in Knoxville. All three of those guys back for the game against Marion. Great to see that. I mean, they're just putting on that last bit of rehab they need to do before they can go at it for the season. Kanon and Anthony Leal, both scratches against Marion. No real clue as to what the degree of the injuries are. Hopefully this is just precautionary, and guess what? A lot of the other guys get the run in the Marion game. That's just how it's got to go. As for three-point shooting across the board, yes, we all wanted to see three-point shooting from the Indiana Hoosiers right away. Of course we did. We thought maybe with the transfer hauls we were bringing in, maybe we'd see an improvement there. Right now, through the first two, the conversion rate is lackluster. It is absolutely lackluster. But, I mean, you kind of saw it in the Tennessee game. 0 for 11 until Kanaan Carlisle hits that first in the second half. And the confidence he took that shot with was the confidence that all the guys were taking each of the first 10 shots with. The shot confidence in the three-pointer is there. The conversion will follow. But you can see these guys are taking shots with more intention. They're looking to take the shots. There were points last season where this backcourt didn't have faith in anything they were doing and were afraid. We're afraid. That, I can honestly say, I do not see this team being afraid of their shots, which, you know, you wish you didn't have to be so grateful for that, but I truly am that this Indiana team looks like they're going to be willing to take three-point shots and they're going to be looking for the opportunity to do so. In the Marion game, you just wanted to see the shots continue to fall, but I mean, the rates for both game, 4-19 against Tennessee and 6-25 against Marion. Not great, not great, but they will fall. They will. I just have to trust they will fall. I've been telling myself I need to trust they will fall for the past three seasons, but I feel like with the talent we have in the backcourt, with the depth that we have in the backcourt, I believe we have a formula to allow the shots to truly fall this year at a rate we haven't seen in years prior. Slow start offensively across the board. Tennessee, you saw it. Slow start. Defense kept it competitive initially, and credit to the defense because the energy was absolutely there. Energy at the top defensively. These guys were diving for loose balls in an exhibition. That's not something I originally thought you'd see from. I mean, it's not something you could have trusted an Indiana team. I mean, maybe of the last year to do out of the gate. These guys are out here putting in the effort in an exhibition game, and I love to see it, as little as it may mean on the course of the season. The transition game spoke to the energy that the defense was bringing. Transition game, 18 points compared to Tennessee's 9 points in that one. I didn't really see the transition game of the Marion because we should have absolutely waxed them in that regard. But, yeah, I mean, Barnes is defense personified. If there's somebody that's going to – if there's somebody that you lap in the turnover differential, or, I mean, the fast break points, and it means something, like, Rick Barnes is up there. Indiana being able to do that against Rick Barnes, who limits his possessions, who plays smart offensively so that he can just exploit you, take advantage of defensive possessions by limiting the possessions of both teams. But yeah, being able to double up their points over on turnovers is something to take home. Being able to hold Tennessee's playmakers to next to nothing. Also, credit to the Indiana defense. There is a lot to clean up. The small stuff, the closeouts were maybe a little aggressive on some parts. But Zakai Ziegler and Chaz Lanier ultimately held to just enough that the Hoosiers can get out of Knoxville with the win. You know, being able to shut them down is something, because the offense was going to run through them. We knew the drill, and luckily the Hoosiers played competently enough on that end to get the job done there. Now, as for individuals over the last two games, Miles Rice is the real deal. Always pressing the tempo, always looking to run. Miles Rice is the real deal. Body control after contact is just impeccable. He can penetrate and hit open shooters on the drive. He displayed elite ball control. Like, no turnovers against Tennessee. No turnovers. That in tandem with, like, there was a point in crunch time of that Tennessee game where he hit a big two on the baseline to take the 62-59 lead with a minute and a half to go. And I just saw, like, this is a guy that wants to be the guy. And I want my point guard to want to be the guy. If you get what I mean, like, the guy. He was looking for the opportunity to make a statement shot, and he did right there. And you saw that he was looking for it because he was running all over the floor just doing that. He was looking for the opportunity to be the one to put the game away. And yeah, on top of that, you saw how he wanted to do that with the free throws. He was like, I'm going to be the one going to the line. And in that game, Indiana's free throws were better than we've seen in so long. 12 of 15 against Tennessee at the line. Now, of course, then we went 8 for 14 in Assembly Hall again. Again, just what the hell can we do? What can we do to clean it up? I know it sounds like Bush League, but please, let's have like an open fan free throw practice in Assembly Hall. We can be as loud as you want us to. We can be as silent as you want us to. But there needs to be something done about the free throws in Assembly Hall. They need to fall at a better rate. This is crazy. 8 for 14 at home against Marion was upsetting to see after 12 for 15 in Tennessee. As for, just Miles Rice with that 20 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists game, 31 minutes. What a debut for the Hoosier. I'm so excited to see what he does now that we have real basketball starting, now that these games mean something. I am excited to see the heights at which this young man can lead the Hoosiers. As for Kenan Carlisle in that Tennessee game, because, again, we saw him as a scratch in the Marion game, Kenan is visibly adjusting to just not having the ball in his hands. You can see that. But even so, it doesn't hurt the offense right now. I'm just excited to see when he locks in what it could possibly add to what is already a promising game. Again, he shot, like, I think above 40% from beyond the arc when playing off ball last season. I just hope to see more and more of that reveal itself over the course of the season as we go. Umar Ballo in this game, last season he averaged 25 minutes per game last season. In this game, or in the Tennessee game, he had 32 minutes total. Mike Woodson absolutely pushing the motor, seeing what he has in Umar Ballo and seeing what he can ask of Umar Ballo. It is nice to get a read on that right now, because it's going to be interesting to see, like, when Umar has logged some massive minutes, how much can we depend on him in the, like, at the end of the game. Glad to see Mike got to use the Tennessee game to kind of push his limit and see what he has there. He started slower on the boards. I thought, like, I thought against Tennessee, there were some rebounds where I thought if he just had a little more intention behind him, he could have ripped them away from a few Tennessee defenders. But nonetheless, impressive start for him out of the gate. He's just going to be a dependable walking double-double, and that I hope we don't need him to be any more than that. Because our other big man, Malik Renew, is a pretty damn good big man, and I think we are going to get a hell of a whole lot out of him this season. There were no fouls against Malik Renew against Marion. No fouls on Malik Renew. Yes, he played 18 minutes, but still, no fouls. Incredible. Incredible. I don't think he had a foul in the first half of the Tennessee game. That is the stuff we need. The best ability is availability, because as long as we can get Malik Renew's availability up, the rest of his abilities are just so crucial to having Indiana be the most productive it can be this season. Between Malik and Malik Renew, gotta just give his stat line for the first game against Tennessee. Huge points production, 21 points on 8 for 12 from the floor, 8 rebounds, all in 33 minutes. Being able to be on the floor for 33 minutes for Malik Renew means he has taken steps in his game. He has taken steps in his development. He has listened to the notes, and he has tightened up defensively on the little things. The little things that killed him last season were his closeouts, his ticky-tack fouls that added up to less play time for the young man. Good to see him manage that all, and we were able to get the most out of him here. Malik and Ballo really just playing together, playing off each other really well. Really impressed with how that looked. They rightfully dominated Marion. Of course, they should. Their size should just eclipse them in every facet of the game at that point. But they showed offensive cohesion in both games. I truly believe that. Malik is able to stretch the floor a little more with a seemingly improved ability to put the ball on the floor this season. And that threat alone just makes him so much more dangerous. It makes the offense so much more dangerous because somebody has to go guard him out and somebody has to worry about him being able to penetrate on the dribble. Malik was dependable last season, but now that he's taking the next shift and adding these tools needed, I am just so ready to see what we get in his game. 5 assists for Malik against Marion and 4 for Balo. Absolutely great ball movement from our front court. Yes, it was Marion, but that was 5 assists and 4 assists in 18 minutes and 20 minutes, respectively. From your big men, that's quite impressive. Bryson Tucker. All right. Bryson Tucker in that Marion game, man. Bryson Tucker, please be my second shining example of why recruiting in August is nothing to lose sleep over. Recruiting in September is nothing to lose sleep over, because Bryson Tucker makes his first shot taken against Marion on his way to 19 points in his major debut for the Indiana Hoosiers. And I know it's Marion. I know it's Marion. But the way he performed convinced me there will be a Bryson Tucker game this season. At some point this season, he will come off the bench, score like 12 in a row for us, and seal a game. And I can't wait to see it. Recruiting, side note again, calm the hell down, everybody. As long as we can get guys like Bryson and McKenzie in August, in May, like, let's just see how this team does and see if this is a dependable roster building strategy. From what I saw in that Marion game, from the production, and it wasn't just the numbers he was putting up, it was how he was doing it. Those were NBA shots being sunk by a true freshman. Incredible to see, and I can't wait to see him have his game. Also, somebody else made their debut, guys. Somebody made their debut. And as president of the Ja'Kai Newton fan club, I just have to say, it was long awaited, but it was beautiful. It was beautiful. I'm so pumped that we got to see Ja'Kai Newton take the floor. What a first bucket, putting the ball on the floor and one. It was a rough night from the floor, ultimately, as he took the floor against Marion. Again, he sat out against Tennessee. But he looked involved with a lot of the off-ball movement. He was very active in that regard. And he looked to get involved on the ball as well with his 3 assists on the game. 4 rebounds. Just so glad to see Ja'Kai Newton is putting up stats in Assembly Hall. It was long overdue, but I'm so glad it is here. Gabe got to be Gabe. And I truly appreciate that Indiana has put together a roster that has allowed Gabe Cups to play Gabe Cups game. Over the last season was far too much to ask of him. He looked like he was having fun in the minutes he had in this game. He was taking shots with confidence throughout the course of both games, including that Marion game. I mean, 8 points for Gabe. 8 points for Gabe. Good to see. It's good to see him take shots and then fall. And just that pressure being gone has to aid that a lot, I imagine. Let's clean up the inbound passing. For some reason in the Tennessee game, a lot of just, I feel like, weak errant inbound passes. Ultimately, I think we beat them in turnovers, so it's all good. But why just beat them in turnovers when you can destroy them in turnovers? Let's do that. Luke Goody. Keep shooting. 0-for-3 against Tennessee from deep. 2-for-9 against Marion from deep. That was all of his shots from the floor. We're taken from deep in that Marion game. Keep shooting. He's getting good looks because he's consistently moving to open space offensively. And as long as he keeps taking them with the confidence he is, that conversion rate will for sure go up. That I truly have confidence in. No reason to doubt that. Langdon has brought a consistent IQ to the front court, and he just knows where to be and can dish out of the post, like, to guys like McKenzie and Luke on the wing. And it's just going to be such a huge asset for him coming off the bench. His IQ, he won't lose us games on the floor. Like, and that's so crucial to have in that deep, deep part of your front court rotation. Free throws. Yeah, I talked about that. Lastly, thoughts on both the games. I'm impressed. I'm pumped. I'm excited. I'm ready to get this all going. Just wanted to say one thing on the Tennessee game. Felix Okpara, that dude, like, the Buckeyes wish they had that guy, because that dude looks strong. That dude looks tall. He was a problem at the rim. A guy like that just in the front court can handle his business in the Big Ten. And I have to imagine them seeing all the gains that kid's made has to hurt. But, okay, yeah, back to the Hoosiers. Just love to see it. Good win in Knoxville. We don't really know how good that Knoxville team is yet. I mean, soon to see, but overall, as an Indiana fan, you can't really be upset with what you saw out of the Hoosiers in the last two games. You should be excited. Yeah, you wish you could see a little more of that three-point shooting fall. But as a Hoosier fan and going through the last 3 years of three-point shooting that you have to be aware to see that they are taking them confidently, that these shots are better shots than we've seen the Hoosiers take. And in turn, we have to just hope that they will fall at a better rate for that. So, yeah, that's all my thoughts on this. I will get you on to the Indiana news. Kurt Cignetti and the Indiana Hoosiers move to a program best 9-0 as they decimate the Spartans on the road to claim the brass platoon, and they move to number 8 nationally. Yes, that is Indiana football number 8 nationally, even though they deserve to be in the top 5 for sure. Like, let's be real. But it's just been an incredible season to follow along. The fever pitch at which this program is currently sitting, I hope it never ends. And oddly enough, with Kurt Cignetti, I don't see the ending of it. So let's keep this guy paid, and let's keep this guy in Bloomington. I love the Indiana football Hoosiers. All right, as for another Indiana program, Indiana soccer finishes a perfect undefeated October and have clinched at least a share of the Big Ten title. As of this recording, they've clinched a number 2 seed in the Big Ten tournament. Fort Wayne, best tasting water in Indiana. Yes, the best tasting water in Indiana competition. I think it was like 300 waterways were tested. Fort Wayne with the third win in a row. That they're saying dynasty, and based on my judgment, I mean, it's good water, people. Indiana debuted at number 18 last week in the coaches poll. That is Indiana basketball. Now that I was talking about it, other Indiana programs, just wanted to throw that out there. Reported last Sunday, Indiana will face off with Kansas in the City of Sin for the 2027 Las Vegas Hall of Fame series. This is a double header event. The other game will be Arizona versus Duke. These true tests, I love signing up for these. Sign up for as many of these as possible. These are the caliber of opponents that we want to be facing come tournament time, and they are in environments that are kind of set like a tournament setting. So I truly say sign up for every single one of these that we possibly can, as long as teams like Kansas, Arizona, and Duke are also signing up for them. Hey, 4 of your 5 Hoosier starters are currently sitting on national watch lists as of this time of recording, 11-3-24. 4 of your 5, that is Mackenzie Mbako, who was named as a preseason watch list member for the 2025 Julius Erving Award, headed to the top small forward in Division I men's basketball. Umar Balo has been named to the Jersey Mike's Naismith's Trophy Men's College Player of the Year Award watch list. And Malik Renew has been named to the Carl Malone watch list. Oh, yeah, as for the other one, Miles Rice. Miles Rice was also named to the Bob Cousy Point Guard of the Year watch list. That kind of talent also speaks to the Indiana familiarity with the top 101 players posted by CBS Sports. The top 101 players of college basketball this season, among which Indiana finds four players there, the four of which I named. McKenzie at number 87, Malik at 63, Miles Rice at 43, and Umar Ballo at 18. That four for Indiana is the most by any team in the Big Ten, and that's what I'm talking about. When we say that this is a talented roster, like, the rest of the country recognizes that. So now it's just time for us to do something with it. As for some talent we may be losing out on, but no need to truly cry about it. This is your recruiting news for the Indiana Hoosiers. Braylon, you all saw it. Braylon has committed to UConn since the last time of my recording. And on to the next one. On to the next one. If you are like, how did this happen? We've been on him forever. Indiana needs Indiana talent. This is an Indiana kid. How's he going to end up at UConn? Come on. Really, come on. Two national titles and all the players that he sent to the league, like, those speak volumes. UConn's on a historic tear. It isn't like Indiana didn't get their guy so much as it is UConn is going to always get their guy right now, because obviously, if you want five banners to speak volumes for the reasons a guy should come to a program, like, they've got six and two of the freshest in the country. And the two freshest in the country. So there's really, you can't blame them. You can't blame them, but you can be appreciative for guys like Bryson Tucker, who make losing guys like this a little hurt a little less, you know? If this season's a failure, like, sure, something needs changed. But if we can construct competitive rosters as we hope to have, like, this season, season after season, addressing problem areas as they come up, bringing in top-tier young proven talent, I'm all for it. So yeah, that's all I got for the Indiana news. On to the national. Last Tuesday from Jamie Shaw, a source close to BYU said 4 to 4.5 million is what they are prepared to pay. That is in regards to AJ DeBonta from BYU. You know, it isn't quite the 8 to 9 million that Goodman had initially reported, but that is still a healthy chunk of change. And that young man's about to be breaded once this auction wraps up. And I have to imagine it's going to be the Mormons that come out on top there. So your next story, Pittsburgh Police Chief Larry Scarotto, who was just 2 years ago, according to Slate, was also engaged in a police dispute with the city of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where he was removed from his job as chief of police on March 3rd after just over 6 months in the role. Larry Scarotto has retired from his position in Pittsburgh now to better focus on his real passion and his other gig, officiating college basketball. Now, the town's in an uproar because he told the people of Pittsburgh that he was done immediately once he took this job. But then after a closed door deal with the mayor, apparently he got to go back out to officiating. The town's in an uproar over figuring out just what the agreement was. If you Google the guy, you'd recognize him honestly, I don't know where, but you would, just for some random shit call in the past on a Hoosier that you loved. But yeah, just a wild story. The chief of police under fire for also officiating, which I have to imagine he's consistently under fire at that role. So tough. This is the last list of preseason rankings. I swear this is the last. I'm going to talk about that 101 players, like I brought up with the four of our members on there previously. I wanted to name off the rest of the Big Ten. Again, Indiana at four, having four is impressive considering I'm looking at a list of the Big Ten players, the rest of the Big Ten, which is 17 programs, and there's roughly 16 names here. So let's go through it. Kobe Johnson, UCLA at 100, Jaden Akins, Michigan State at 94, Fletcher Lawyer at 93, Trey Kaufman, Wren at 92, Kylan Boswell at 90, Dylan Andrews, UCLA at 88, Kasperis Jack, Cusionis, Illinois at 86. Desmond Claude, USC at 72. Julian Reese, Maryland at 68. Jackson Shellstad, Oregon at 53. Ace Baldwin, Penn State at 42. Peyton Sanford at Iowa, 30. Bruce Thornton, Ohio State, 29. Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper, 24 and 17. Great Osabor at 15 and Braden at 9. All right. And then, usually during the national news, I am going to wrap up with the results in these regular season episodes. Just the rest of the results around the conference, talk about some games talk about the opponents. On this one, I'm not going to. I'm going to refer you to the Big Ten Huddle. Please check out the Big Ten Huddle. Again, I recently joined the College Huddle Network, but I have been a guest on the Big Ten Huddle prior to that. On the last basketball episode, we discussed all the outcomes of each Big Ten exhibition game, and it was just fun chopping it up with JR on that. So please go check that out. I'll try to include a link below the Big Ten Huddle. Also, subscribe to the Big Ten Huddle and comment more Burke. I'm just trying to make sure that an Indiana presence is a staple on that show. So go follow them, comment more Burke. All right, now let's move on to the Flaunted and the Daunted. That is your winners and losers of the week. All right, starting off the Flaunted is your 9-0 head coach, Kurt Cignetti. That dude has called his shot. He said he's going to the Big Ten title game, and he may just do that. Like, I have so much faith in what's going on, and there's no sign of it stopping. There truly isn't. If you've watched every single snap that this team has taken, like, there's no sign of it stopping, because we got some for you now, and we got some for you later. Kurt Cignetti, absolutely flaunted. Miles Rice, flaunted. 20 points, eight assists in that first game, whatever the case may be. That dude came into Tennessee and he said, hey, I'm taking over the ship. I'm the one steering. Let's ride. Let's ride. I loved seeing it. Miles Rice, absolutely undaunted with his debut performance. Another debut performance, absolutely worth being flaunted. Bryson Tucker, just saving us, man. Coming in as the lone freshman for this Indiana Hoosiers team. He is going to be an essential piece of this squad. He is going to have a Bryson Tucker game. Again, I can't say it enough. A Bryson Tucker game in which we owe the win to him. I am so pumped for that day. All right. And then lastly, the Indiana Hoosiers. Flaunted. Each one of you. You. Every single Indiana Hoosier. Flaunted right now. Eighth ranked and undefeated in football. Four of our five starters on national watch lists. You know, just coming off of an upset victory in Knoxville. Sure, it's exhibition, but I'm going to say upset victory in Knoxville. But just having the depth we have on this team, who's got it better than us? Both sides. I say both sides of the ball. All balls. Both sides of all balls. Who's got it better than us right now? Daunted. Let's talk about who's daunted. The rest of Big Ten football. They're all starting to realize it. This guy isn't a fluke, and Indiana might be a problem moving forward, and there probably wasn't a worse time that a team not named Michigan, Ohio State, or Penn State to just show up and say, hey, no, we're actually going to compete as well. Because Oregon and USC and the likes of the West Coast also coming in, this could be the worst time for them to have another rival that has just been under their nose the whole time. Nice to see Indiana getting its recognition, and the rest of the Big Ten is daunted. Shout out to Sonny Verma and Locked On Illini, but the Fighting Illini are on here, man. The Fighting Illini are on here. For both football and basketball. It looks like the football dream run has ended for the Illini. And, hey, a bowl game for them. Awesome. Awesome. But it looks like the pumpkin's turning. The carriage is turning into a pumpkin. Yeah, there we go. And then as for basketball, rough exhibition outing. But again, if there is a guy who can get it together, it's probably Brad Underwood. If you're talking transfers over the course of the season, that team's probably going to look a lot different at the end of it than they do at the beginning, but the same could be said for a lot of teams. So Purdue football and basketball, I'm putting them both on here. Basketball for professing that Will Berg will aid in alleviating the Edie gap. He started at center and played a total of 8 minutes, grabbing 2 points. And unfortunately for him and his large stature, zero rebounds. He was capped at 8 minutes because he picked up 4 fouls already in that time. And I think Painter did him a service sitting him easily because a lot of you would have had a field day with that poor kid. And Purdue football, because with their bye, they were unable to end their current 6-game losing streak. And then they just lost again. It's just not good in Purdue. So Purdue football, they've been a staple of this since the Flaunted and the Daunted has started. And until I can take them off, I just won't. Purdue football. All right, now it's on to Burke's Big Five, Big Ten. All right, and for this, I didn't want to rank Sanduskies because I'm not trying to end up on whatever watch list guys that rank Sanduskies end up on. Also, I don't want to be emotionally fragmented following any sort of necessary Googling I'd have to do there. Not including white collar crime in these Big Ten pieces of shit because white collar crime, yes, it decimates livelihoods because and all that, but I just do not want to pour through litigation and contracts and nonsense like that. You'll kind of get what I'm going for here. Number five, Ted Kaczynski. Kaczynski murdered 3 people and injured 23 others between 1978 and 1995 in a mail bombing campaign against people he believed to be advancing modern technology and destroying the government, the environment in turn. Kaczynski was a Michigan grad. So there you go. Big Ten alumni, pieces of shit. Ted Kaczynski, number five. Number four, Rodney Alcala. Rodney Alcala, the dating game killer, recently out on Netflix, I believe. Sentenced to death in California for 5 murders committed between 1977 and 1979. While he has been conclusively linked to 8 murders, the true number of victims is unknown. And he went to UCLA. Yeah, UCLA graduate right there. Number three, hailing from Michigan State and a huge piece of shit, Andrew Kehoe. This is the man behind the bath bomb disaster of 1927. Andrew Philip Kehoe was an American mass murderer. He was a Michigan farmer who became disgruntled after losing re-election as a treasurer for the Bath Township School Board. And because he was upset, he blew up the school and murdered 44 people, injuring 58 more. Absolute POS. Number two, and a Washington grad in his own right, Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy kidnapped, absolute monster with what he did. 30 women, at least on his own account, probably more, executed in 1989. You know Ted Bundy. Absolute huge Big Ten POS. Hailing from Washington. There you go. And your number one with a bullet, number one, H.H. Holmes. He confessed to 27 murders, but as many as 200 were believed to have occurred in the murder castle in which he designed himself around the time of the Chicago World's Fair in 1893. And H.H. Holmes is a Michigan man. Shocker. All right. Let's get on to previewing Southern Illinois University Edwards. The SIUE Cougars. Did I say USIE? It's the SIUE, Southern Illinois University of Edwardsville Cougars. They come to us out of the Ohio Valley Conference. This game will be taking place in Assembly Hall Wednesday for you. That is at 8 p.m. on BTN. Out of the Ohio Valley Conference, 17-16 last season. They have lost 4 of their 5 starters since. They come to Indiana as IU's lowest ranked opponent on the competitive schedule. That is a 321st ranking on Bart Torvik. I'm only throwing them out until we have opponents we actually know, because I don't want to give the nerds credit. But 321 overall. That is the 339th offense and the 257th defense. They are currently led by Bryant Barone in his sixth season, and that is Bryant Barone. He has a Indiana connection with being the director of basketball operations and video coordinator during the Crean era. We've beaten them two times, with the smallest margin of victory being 23 points that coming December 2nd, 2016. And they have two. I'm just going down what you guys. It's SIUE. I'll talk about what I want to see out of the Hoosiers after I recap, after I preview both SIUE and Eastern Illinois. So because really, in previewing this, I want to see Indiana do the same thing to both these teams. So I'm just going to preview each and tell you what I want to see out of the Hoosiers then. So as for key players on the SIUE Cougars, key players, one, they only have that one returning starter. As I said, four were leaving, Rayshon Taylor. And Rayshon Taylor averaged 13.6 points per game on the year, while averaging 3.6 rebounds and 2.8 assists in 30.7 minutes per game. He was able to shoot the ball at a 36% clip from beyond the arc, and that will absolutely be crucial to leaving no open shots for him, but we'll get into that. They were able to bring in transfers Ring Malith and Miles Thompson. Both of these guys were teammates on the JUCO national champion Barton Community College. They look to subsidize a lot of the production that they lost in those four starters, but as for names on this roster worth mentioning, there is 6'10 Kyle Thomas. This is Kyle Thomas, son of the 1,000-point scoring Hoosier and 1987 national champion Daryl Thomas. Now, as for Eastern Illinois, I'm going to be previewing these both at the same time. Just want to, like I said, I'm going to be moving to a once-a-week formula with these episodes. So I'm going to preview both opponents, talk about what I want to see out of the Hoosiers from each game, and that'll be how I do it from now on. If there's anything you request as to formula for the show, any recommendations you have, please feel free to make them. I appreciate any help I can get in just making this show better. As for Eastern Illinois. Eastern Illinois also is heading to us out of the Ohio Valley Conference. That game will be next Sunday, noon on BTN Plus. Yes, you need the subscription for this one. But they are also led by a coach with Indiana ties, that being Marty Simmons, who was on the team from 1983 to 1985. They are coming to us currently ranked 305 overall on Bart Torvik's preseason rankings, with the 304th ranked offense and the 293rd ranked defense. And as for history with the Hoosiers, we were able to beat them by 39 points in both of our prior meetings, once in 2015 and once in the 1992 NCAA tournament. As for key players from the Eastern Illinois Panthers, key players include forward Cooper Jacoby. And Jacoby averaged 10.5 points per game and 8 rebounds. And guard Nakil Shelton. Nakil Shelton averaged 11 points per game. I want to just be able to see Hoosiers limit Shelton's threes. The threes he get up, I need Hoosiers limiting them at all costs. As for what I want to see from the Hoosiers, I could recap Eastern, what I want to see out of them from the Eastern, or preview, sorry. I could preview what I want to see out of them from the Eastern Illinois Panthers game and the USIE game, but you want to see the same thing. You want to see Indiana absolutely go out there and destroy these teams, because Indiana needs to go out there and absolutely destroy these teams. These games are what killed us last season. These games are the reason that Mike Woodson didn't go to the tournament for a third time in a row. These games are the reason Mike Woodson was unable to keep a tournament streak going. You need to make examples of these teams, and that includes shutting down any open shooters. Like, lesser teams are not going to take advantage of us to the extent that Big Ten teams will. But if you catch the wrong team on the wrong night, the wrong guy gets hot at the right time, and you just look like shit in the computers. So these games are as important as our big games. I swear to God they are. I want to see Kanon get comfortable in this game. If he is able to be out there on the floor, he was a scratch last game against Marion. But if he is in this one, I want to continue to see him get more comfortable with his role as not being a primary ball handler. He was asked to be a primary ball handler at Stanford. Now I just want to see him be able to be a playmaker in an offense ran by Miles Rice. And I hope that he can find that role and he can excel in it. I truly believe he can. Here's hoping that we can see a little bit more out of these two games from that in that regard. Will Ballo shoulder as many minutes in this one? I'm interested to see just will he be pressed as hard again, or will we see like what his minutes may truly become over time? Well, you know, with Ballo, you'd rather get just that bruising brute for 25 maybe than you would any less than that for 30 or more. It's just going to be interesting to see how Mike Woodson manages it. And something to keep an eye on in these two games. If McKenzie is more assertive when Miles and Kanon Carlisle are both off the floor, or if he just, like, I want to see if he keeps that going, or if that, like, go get a bucket time is able to be spawned when those guys are on the floor. Because truly, when it looked like, hey, a play needed made because Miles was gone, during that Tennessee game, McKenzie put it on himself to go out there and start something, put it on the floor, get to the rim, whatever the case may be. McKenzie was cooking at that moment, and it's going to be interesting to see if that continues or if they're playing together more often. How are we going to use it? I'm just something to keep an eye on with McKenzie. Out of Malik, besides a non-prescription pair of rec specs for Malik, I just want to see more of this. I want to see more of him tightening it up defensively. I want to see him on the floor. Because if you just see him on the floor, that means he made strides in his game defensively. He cut down on the ticky-tack stuff that kept him off the floor. And the more we can get Malik out there, the more, like, the better our outcomes are going to be. That's just the case with what he's bringing to our game. Out of Luke, I want to see Luke shoot. I want to see Luke continue to shoot in these two games. Two for 14 so far for the Hoosiers. Luke is from beyond the arc. Got to just keep shooting it. They're going to fall. There are good shots he's taken. He is very active, like off ball in the offense. He is getting guys involved. I think he had 5 assists in one game in that Marion game. Keep shooting, Luke. I want to see Luke ripping shots in these two. I want to see Gabe continue to contribute meaningful minutes and show that despite the limited minutes and even less coming down like the lane as rehabs progress, as Ja'Kai gets more minutes, as whatever the case may be, I want to see Gabe continue to bring the energy. From the small tidbit we've seen, the vertigo-inducing drop in minutes that he will see. He will see that vertigo-inducing drop in minutes. But I want to see him be able to manage that with the same attitude and enthusiasm he has since he's gotten here. I know that Anthony Leal can do it. Anthony Leal plays the minutes he's asked to, and he's okay with doing that. And, I do want to see some of that out of Gabe. I think we have seen it so far. I hope it continues. I want to see free throws. I want to see free throws fall in these games. The stakes of the free throw shouldn't be high in games like this, but man, we need to convert them. We need to convert the ones that are given to us. It's been a frustration of this program, and I need to see it end. I need to see that frustration lifted personally. I don't want to see an uncontested three in this game. They absolutely killed us in the Florida Gulf Coast game. That game came back to haunt us when it came down to the wire and Michigan State was put in the tournament and we finished above Michigan State in the Big Ten standings, yet we don't get allowed into the tournament because we are leaving uncontested three-pointers to teams like Florida Gulf Coast. Absolutely cannot afford to see any of those in these two games. Yeah, and I want to see this team win by at least in the first game, at least the 34-point margin that we've beat them by before. In the Eastern Illinois game, I want to at least beat them by the 39 points. We beat them in both of those games. I want this team to make an example of these teams. I want the Hoosiers to go out there and beat Eastern Illinois and Southern Illinois University Edwardsville like they rightfully should. Like they should spank them, and I want to see the results speak to that. So that's all I want to see. That was your preview of the upcoming two games. Yeah, not the most analytical. There's other shows for that. But thank you for listening. So let's get on to the Hoosier History Hit, and then we'll get you out of here.
This is your Hoosier History Hit.
For your Hoosier History Hit, I wanted to talk about a patent that went through November 4th, and I wanted to talk about the individual behind the patent. November 4th, 1862, the patent goes through for one Indianapolis inventor's rapid-firing crank-operated death machine and the precursor to the modern-day machine gun, the Gatling gun. Richard Jordan Gatling was an inventor born in North Carolina in 1818. Gatling was born in Hertford County, North Carolina in 1818. At 21, he created a screw propeller for steamboats, only to find out that the inventor, John Erickson, had patented one just months prior. While living in North Carolina, he worked in the county clerk's office and was briefly a teacher and a merchant. At 36 years old, Gatling had moved to St. Louis, and where he had worked at a general store and invented a rice sewing machine and a wheat drill, a machine to aid one in planting wheat. After an attack of smallpox, Gatling became interested in medicine, and he graduated from the Ohio Medical College in 1850 with an MD. Because back in 1850, like if any of your any pursuit just like spawned an interest in your mind, you followed that, and then you became a doctor in that. That's just how it went in 1850, because anybody got to do whatever they wanted. If you weren't going to be a doctor, you would be a professional baseball player, it seems. But yeah, although he had his medical degree, he never practiced and was just far more interested in being an inventor. Pursuing his passion and ending up with a medical degree, again, just cannot even believe how getting a medical degree for chits and gigs, that's pretty awesome. And that is some 1850 nonsense right there. By the time the Civil War popped off, Gatling had moved to Indianapolis, Indiana. In Indianapolis, Gatling told himself, these death dealers just don't do. He didn't really, but this is my words. These death dealers just don't do. I don't want to shoot a man. I want to make Swiss cheese of him. So in 1861, in tandem with the kickoff of the America's Biggest Black Eye, he released the Gatling gun. The following year, the Gatling Gun Company was formed. With the Gatling Gun Company, he patented several inventions to improve toilets, bicycles, steam cleaning, pneumatic power, and many other fields. Towards the end of his life, Gatling moved back to St. Louis, Missouri, to form a new company for the manufacturing of steam plows or tractors. While at his daughter's in New York City on February 26, 1903, Richard Gatling died. He is interred at the Crown Hill Cemetery in Indianapolis. That was your Hoosier History Hit. Richard Gatling patented with the Gatling gun having been patented this week. All right, let's get you on out of here. Thank you so much for listening to the Often Daunted Podcast. Thank you so much for watching the Often Daunted Podcast, whatever the case may be. This is a podcast in connection, in partnership with the College Huddle Network. That is a collection of football and basketball podcasts around the country, supporting all the big programs out there. Really awesome to be a part of that. As for just thank you guys, like thank you for giving the show a shot. Thank you for giving me the time out of your day. Let's head on out there. Let's go get the best of the Cougars. Let's go get the best of the Panthers. Let's go big cat hunting this week. And then you can come back here and I'll recap it all for you. So until that time, you guys all take it easy. God bless you and yours, Hoosier fans. Lux et Veritas. See ya.